local talk jock Howie Carr. He'll just be another lost voice.
Would you look at this as an end of an era in Boston?
He has no place to go. AM talk is just too dumb. I mean, it's too tedious and repetitive.
And this is just, you know, one more indication of how outrageous he can be.
Here they are ripping me now, and I'm still here. I'm still standing.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
And I'm still here.
It's Howie Carr. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Taylor Cormier, joined this hour by another guest host, Bill Brassard from JB Auto Care. If you have any car questions about your car, maybe you're looking for a new car or a used vehicle and you have some questions about what you should be looking for based on your needs, or you just have a car question in general, or want to know something about JB Auto Care, give us a call, 844-500-4242. It's not often you get free advice from somebody who knows it all, but that person is with me now. Bill, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. How was your holiday yesterday? Everybody in the family got a new car?
Yeah, I wish. I wish I got a new car. But we had a great day. I hope you guys did also.
Thank you. Yeah, we did. It was awesome. So I wanted to talk about a couple of things before we start taking calls. And by the way, if you want to call 844-500-4242, or you can shoot us a text message, text the word Howie to the number 617-213-1066, and you can ask your car question of Bill Brassard there. Last week in San Francisco, I don't know if you heard about this, Bill, but Waymo, they have a robo taxi service. I don't know if it's available here in Boston, but they have these robotic taxis. They're autonomous vehicles, and San Francisco had a power outage, and that caused everything to shut down, including these vehicles. Now, it's not because they were running on city electricity or that they were necessarily electric vehicles, but they couldn't determine traffic signals in time because there were no traffic signals. It caused a really big problem. And Tesla kind of dunked on them, saying that, you know, our driverless, our autonomous services, they don't really rely on that kind of software. But it seems that these companies that produce autonomous vehicles, they're kind of at odds with each other on the way that they operate. How much do you know about autonomous vehicles, and what is the difference?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about them, but I was in Arizona a few months back, and they were actively using those as cabs, which is very interesting. I don't know if you remember the movie Total Recall, the Johnny Cab.
Yeah.
You know, they had those electric vehicles with, robot drivers. It's new technology. I think with anything, they roll it out, they test it the best they can, and then they have to just take it case by case as, you know, accidents happen, power outages, you know, and things of that sort. You know, and then they have to implement different, you know, techniques and ways of doing things. So it's so new, you know, just like these electric vehicles. You know, electric vehicles actually aren't new. They've been around since the 1800s, believe it or not. They were before gasoline engines, but they just never took off. You know, and they're still struggling. They have about 20% of the marketplace now, but these things are new. The technology is new, so they don't really know, you know, 20 years from now, what are these robot taxis going to be like? Is it going to be a bad idea, or is it going to take over? So it's just one of those, it's kind of unknown right now. I'm sure they test it, but you can't predict 20 years in 1 year of testing.
So what's the future like for people like you, independent shop owners that run a repair business, and you have all of this new technology being, incorporated into new cars, and so much of it is proprietary. How does that affect your business, and are you able to kind of adapt to that as the years go by and people's warranties expire, so they can't go to the dealership because it costs so much more? Will they be able to go to somebody like you?
Yeah, so that's kind of the issue with these cars that are coming out now. The technology The electronics on them is so advanced and the proprietary and they're so complex that, you know, only the dealers can fix a lot of the issues. You know, I have a newer Chevy truck and I was without that for 1 month because the dealership could not fix. My radio went out and the radio is the infotainment system.
Right.
As we discussed in, you know, the Karen Reed vehicle that was $15,000 to replace. I didn't even ask how much this one. They replaced it. They had a software issue and they couldn't get the car back online for like a month. They had to import like a technician in from California. It was a big deal. So that's very common these days. So these cars are getting super complex. So when a car is out of warranty, you know, these cars are going to be coming to an independent shop like mine and, you know, it's going to be bad news. So, you know, once again, we don't know what the future brings, but the present isn't, you know, the reading the cards isn't, you know, isn't a good thing right now because it's so expensive, so complex. And, you know, there's an act out there. It's called the Right to Repair Act, where the dealers and the manufacturer had to release a certain amount of information to the independent so they could bring the car anywhere to be repaired. Now, they didn't have to release at all. So there's still information that I cannot get my hands on unless I had a manufacturer's specific computer to fix this vehicle. At this point, it's not worth the investment if I'm just going to see one every now and then. So it'll be very interesting to see what these the future will bring. And the price tag of these vehicles, you know, $50,000 for a brand new vehicle. Some of these trucks, $100,000. You know, in another 5 years, they're going to probably be $150,000. You know, the price never goes down on these vehicles. So they're getting so advanced and complex. It's a little scary. It's almost like it's going to be like a 20-year. You're going to have to take out like a 20-year mortgage to be able to afford these vehicles.
Right.
I know they have 8-year car loans now.
Yeah. Trump wants. He's talking about bringing like 50-year mortgages. I want. You know. He's talking about doing those 8-year car loans too. It's crazy. But
yeah, everyone thinks in car payments, which you have to.
That's like the cup of coffee from yesteryear. You know. It's like a car payment. It's like a cup of coffee. But why are these infotainment systems so expensive? I mean, you mentioned that they're getting so complex, but they make our lives and driving and controlling our vehicles, I think, a lot more simple. But there is a lot of complexity built in. But you quote $15,000 for, say, Karen Reed's infotainment system on her Lexus. What is involved in replacing that that's so expensive? Is it labor or is it the tech?
It's the technology that's in it. Now, is it really worth $15,000? No. It's a GPS. You know, it has a satellite radio in there. It controls some of the climate system. You know, and it has like a fancy touchscreen and stuff like that. But it's also a supply and demand thing. So, like for a vehicle, they actually tried to get another one for the trial, and they couldn't even find another one. So there's not a whole bunch of them out there. So in a specific to that vehicle, actually, when we went to buy, it has to be programmed to that specific VIN on that vehicle. So you couldn't take one out of another one and just put it in there. So, you know, the demand on them isn't, you know, that great. So the price tag is going to be typically huge on that vehicle because, you know, they might sell a couple a year, opposed to if they were mass produced, one size fits all the vehicles out there, you know, it would dramatically bring the price down. And then you'd get aftermarket companies making radios for those vehicles. So this is what has happened in the past. But like I researched on this vehicle, if there was an aftermarket radio available, and there wasn't. So The only option was to get that from Lexus, had to be programmed, and it was $15,000. So that's actually a common conversation now on these newer vehicles, especially the, you know, German vehicles. You know, BMW ran into this problem, you know, I'd say almost 15, 20 years ago. They started getting real, you know, they had the iTouch and they wanted to make it fancy for the drivers, but then the car gets 100,000 miles on it and the resale value plummets because no one's going to buy a $15,000 radio for their, you know, 10-year-old car.
Right. I would imagine, though, the aftermarket market is going to catch up to that eventually, though, right?
Eventually it does, but not always. Not always. It's a demand thing. If there's a demand for it, they'll make it. But if there's not many vehicles like that out there, like we talked about on Karen's car, there's only, they couldn't even find one for the trial to test it. So, you know, there was only one of those vehicles in the market.
Yeah, they had to get a whole new Lexus just to run the test that they wanted to.
Yeah, they had to get a different model.
Yeah. 603 wants to know, what are Bill's thoughts on New Hampshire forgoing the state inspection mandate?
I'm not familiar with their process up there. I know in Massachusetts, you know, they test emissions and they also test safety. You know, at the end of the day, it's a really good idea to get your car inspected once a year. You know, it's not that I like the fact that the government imposes things on people that, like a tax, but it's only $35. So, you know, I'm not getting rich. We do them at JB Auto, but, you know, we're not getting rich on doing them. But it is a necessary evil. You do catch, hey, if your car needs tires or ball joints or tire, you know, a safety component, you know, there's something you want to know about. And, you know, another thing, too, is like just because your car passes inspection that day, it doesn't mean it's going to be safe tomorrow. So it could barely pass, but you know, you should really get your car looked at once a year, at minimum once a year. So I think they actually are a good thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've said. I mean, you could get a past inspection sticker today and a rejection tomorrow. It just really depends on what's going to happen. Yeah, we'll get to some more texts and some calls. 844-500-4242. I'd imagine that January is probably the busiest month for you as far as inspections go, because that's where all of the expired inspection stickers default to if you get it reinspected, right?
Yeah. So a couple of years back, and this is a little inspection sticker hack that people like to hear about. So let's say it's September and you wait till October, you know, you kind of gain a month of inspection. So mm-hmm. if it was due in September and you got in October, you get an October inspection. So a few years back, they enacted a thing. So if, let's say you got it done and the car was due in January, but you got it in June, it would date the sticker back to January. So you couldn't, you know, hack the system. But there is, if it's December of 2025 and you get your inspection sticker in January of 2026, the machine doesn't have the ability to put a 2025 sticker on there.
Okay, just so you can still get that. So this is the procrastinator's week. You know, most of the month is gone.
Keep in mind, if you drive into the shop with an expired inspection sticker, you can get pulled over.
Yes, that's true. We don't want to have anybody committing illegal acts on their way to JB Auto Care. We'll take a short break here. Bill Brassard from JB Auto Care in Weymouth is with us right now, 844-500-4242, and we'll get to your calls right after this break. And if you're a homeowner, you do need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles and your equity is the target. It's really amazing. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document. They use a fake notary stamp. They pay a small fee with your county. And just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name. These are all public records that anybody can access. Then they take out loans using your equity, what you've been putting into your home year after year, or even sell your property without you knowing it. And you just don't know that it's happened, and you'll never get notified because they think the county, they think it's you, until you get a collection or a foreclosure notice from your bank. So when's the last time you checked on your home title? If your answer is never, you need to do something about it right now. That's why Howie has partnered with Home Title Lock, so you can find out today if you're already a victim. Use Howie's promo code, which incidentally is Howie, at HomeTitleLock.com, and you'll get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That includes 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud does happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and use promo code Howie. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Howie. I'm Taylor Cormier along with Bill Brassard from JB Auto Care. We'll be right back. This is the Howie Carr Show. Follow Howie on X.
I've got to post a link with witty comment.
At Howie Carr Show.
Thank you. Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Colette Tours. Discover Scotland with Colette and Toby Leary of Cape Gunworks this September. Colette handles all the details. Flights, meals, hotels, and local experiences. Your only job is to have the time of your life. To join Toby in Scotland, call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to HowieCarshow.com and click the banner to learn more. Matt, what's today's poll question and what are the results thus far?
What do you hope President Trump prioritizes in 2026? Mass deportations, the economy, world peace, midterm elections, or other?
I'm between mass deportations and midterm elections. Both are very important. I'm gonna go midterm elections.
Midterm elections has 42%, mass deportations has 30%, the economy has 25%, and then world peace and other have under 2%.
All right. We're joined now by Bill Broussard of JB Auto Care in Weymouth. Bill 774 says, I used to work in home appliances. Manufacturers went to limited runs on components to crank out newer models. That means spare parts get rare quick, basically cheaper to buy a new washer than to replace the circuit board. Same now with automobiles. Do you agree?
Well, unfortunately, the price on these vehicles haven't come down. So, you know, years ago, you can get 20, 30 years out of your refrigerator, dishwasher, or washer, dryer. You know, and that's not the case these days. The appliance salesman will tell you that. But the price has come down on them. So with these vehicles, you know, the price keeps on going up. No, there is talks of these cheaper vehicles that weren't allowed to be made in the country. I know Toyota has a Toyota truck. You know, a stripped-down version. They're talking about selling for like $15,000. But, you know, in some of these vehicles, you know, the safety is good. It's a good thing. We have all these curtain airbags, and, you know, it's expensive, but the car is safe. So a lot of the price tag of these vehicles is the safety of the vehicles. That's why, you know, I put my daughter in a newer, you know, car because, you know, the safety features are, you know, they have the sensors where you can't drive too close to someone, will automatically slow down. It has a curtain airbags, you know, so I feel safe with that. So if I put her in a stripped down version of these throwaway cars, you're compromising your safety. So if we could hit a happy medium somewhere, I'd be for that.
All right, let's try to take a call before we go to the break. We got about a minute and a half here. Andrew, you're next with Bill Broussard of JB Auto Care. What's your question for Bill, Andrew?
Hey, Bill. I'm in the market for a new vehicle, and I want to know what your thoughts are on purchasing an import or American. I'm looking for like a crossover type vehicle. I've got about $30,000 to spend. Can I get into something new without having a car payment for that kind of money?
Yeah, I believe you can get a Camry for those that price. You know, $30,000 is a good. The average used car is $30,000, and the average new car is $50,000. But the average, you know, it's pulling in these $100,000 vehicles. So you can get a really nice vehicle for $30,000, brand new. You know, it might not be a BMW or, you know, a fancy one, but it could be a lower end one. Or, you know, those Toyotas are nice cars. I love the Lexus car. It's the upscale version of the Toyota. But you know, any new car you buy these days, they're very safe, very reliable. It's when you get to the 100,000-mile mark, you know, that's what separates the good cars from the bad cars. And then the resale value, you want to look at the resale value.
Right. We're going to pause right there, Bill, and we'll come back to this. We are on with Bill Broussard from JB Auto Care. Get on the lines now with your questions, 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Taylor Cormier filling in today just for a little bit here along with Bill Broussard from JB Auto Care in Weymouth. Before we went to the break, Bill, you were talking about the resale value as a consideration when buying a new car. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to finish your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so as we know, a car is not an investment, meaning it doesn't gain value, but you want to minimize, you know, that impact. So, you know, one of the things, when you purchase a vehicle, you could either buy it or you could lease it. So when you lease it, you're buying the depreciation out of that vehicle, meaning it loses that amount of value every year or every month. And at the end of the lease, you could buy it for what the car is typically worth. Now, if you look at the, let's say the Toyotas, for example, you can lease those cars pretty inexpensively. They're usually the lowest price lease vehicles on the market because they don't really depreciate that much. So you're just basically renting the vehicle, but you're buying the depreciation of it. Now, if you rent a German vehicle like a BMW, Audi, one of those very nice cars, but they're going to set you back $1,500 or $2,000 a month on a lease because they depreciate so rapidly and they lose a value. Because when they have 100,000 miles on them, nobody wants to touch those with a 10-foot pole because, as we were talking about earlier, the software on these vehicles, these computer systems, it's so expensive that it's just not worth fixing. At some point, it's just not worth fixing.
Right. Let's get to another call here. Mike, thanks for hanging on. You're next with Bill Broussard of JB Auto Care. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I had a Ford F-150 that's on its last legs. It's a solid truck, but it's rusting out. And I don't work anymore, and I don't need a big F-150, but I was looking at the Ford Mavericks, and I found a 24 and a 25, real low mileage, but then I looked into their transmission issues with hunting and surging and skipping gears, so I kind of shied away from it. But what are your thoughts on that vehicle? I wanted the 4K tow package so I could tow a boat, and no, I don't go off-road anymore, so just wondering what your thoughts are.
You know, the American vehicle, and it pains me to say this because I was born in America, I love America, but they just cannot, they've been building cars for over 100 years, and they still cannot build a transmission to stay together for any period of time. We do dozens of transmissions per month on American vehicles. You know, some of the Japanese too. So, you know, I'm not a huge fan, you know, especially if you're towing a vehicle, you know, you want a strong transmission. So, you know, you can just do your homework on that. You can Google it, ChatGPT it. You know, you might want to shift to the Japanese version, the Toyota 4Runner or pickup truck. And also, too, these newer vehicles that are coming out, I have to add this in there, is, you know, they're not saying anything about changing the transmission fluid on these vehicles. They're saying the lifetime fluid, which is very misleading, and they're actually getting sued for it. So the lifetime, you know, when someone thinks a lifetime, they think like, well, the average lifetime of a person is 75 years. Logic tells us that not the case on these transmissions. So it's actually the lifetime of what the transmission is supposed to last, and they're saying 100,000 miles. So if you want your transmission to last, you have to change the fluid in those vehicles. You know, it's mandatory. If you want to get 200,000-400,000 miles out of a transmission, you have to change it. Condensation gets in there, clutch material. So you do have to change these fluids. And it's very misleading that they come out with these lifetime fluids. But you know, you could also Google that or ChatGPT and you'll get kind of a whole, you know, all the cases out there, it's very misleading.
Mike, does that answer your question?
Yeah,
do you have a follow-up? Yep.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying because everyone who, you go on these things with Reddit, the threads, they all say change your transmission fluid every 30,000 miles.
And it might be a little excessive, but yeah, on my own vehicles, I do. Yeah, if you don't want to replace it every 30,000, I do my own vehicles like that, you know, maybe 50,000, but a lifetime, you know, logic tells us that's not correct.
Thanks very much for the call, Mike. I do have a follow-up on the transmission fluid. Anytime I take my car into a shop, they take a look at my transmission fluid and they say, look, this doesn't look like it's ever been changed, but you know, you might as well not do it now. What, and it seems like they're a little bit leery of changing out the fluid at this point. Why is that?
Yeah. So, you know, there is, I don't know if it's a wives' tale or not, but, you know, so they say the fluid, it gets to a certain point where it's, you know, it's black and, you know, it's kind of protecting the seals and everything in there. And I have had cases where you put the new fluid in and it frees, you know, the sticking components up and the transmission goes bad. It does risk the vehicle, you know, the transmission breaking down. So whatever goes on in the inside, you know, it's kind of the thick fluids holding everything together. So it's kind of, it's, if that happens, your transmission was on its way out. You know, and a lot of people, they check the fluid, they're like, oh, it's clean, I'm going to wait. So the purpose of changing it is to maintain it so it stays clean. So it's very misleading to, you know, pull the stick and be like, hey, it's full and it's clean, let's wait another 30,000 miles. So then all of a sudden it's 100,000 miles, like, hey, let's start changing the transmission fluid, and then all of a sudden your transmission goes bad. Well, it was probably on its way out anyway. It's kind of like, you know, if you start working out when you're 100 years old, you know, you probably died at 75.
Another thing that I'm guilty of is if anything on my car starts to make a noise or something just doesn't feel right, I'm automatically going online and researching the problem myself, and that'll inevitably bring me to a YouTube video on how to repair it myself. And yeah. I imagine that gets people into a lot of trouble. I haven't run into that myself, but how many people come into JB Auto Care saying, I tried doing it myself and I think I made it worse?
It does happen. You know, it's like, you know, if you have some health issues, it's like going to Dr. Google and fixing yourself. You know, some people are handy, some people aren't. So it's a gift in life. So, you know, I'm all for if you can Google it and fix it yourself. But, you know, at the end of the day, what's your time worth? Is that what you do for a living? You know, if you're a doctor or a lawyer, you make, you know, $300-$500 an hour. You know, is it really worth you changing your own oil? Probably not.
Right. You know? And so many of those other decisions, you know, are left to us, like the consumer directly, on what parts to buy. And if, you know, our overall objective is to save a buck, we're probably, you know, not buying the greatest quality replacement parts.
Yeah, I don't think you're really saving a buck when you're doing it yourself, when it's, you know, the time, going to the parts store, buying the part. I personally don't think you're saving much money. You know, if it's a simple thing, yes. But if you break a bigger component, you know, you snap a bolt inside the motor and all of a sudden your motor, you got to replace it, you know, it's going to be a tough conversation.
Absolutely. Temperature is starting to dip out there. Very cold this morning. What advice do you have for people when it gets this cold as far as winterizing their vehicles?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing, make sure your battery, you know, is fully charged. So a battery typically will last, a good battery will last 5 years. A cheaper battery will last 3 years. So if your battery's, you know, coming on 5 years old, you know, just because it's starting the car every day doesn't mean, you know, you shouldn't replace it. So I'd say replace your battery every 5 years, whether it, you think it needs it or not, because there is, you know, it does have an expiration date on it. And the cold weather will bring out the worst in these vehicles. As we're seeing on these electric vehicles, it's a dramatic difference, meaning they get a 20% reduced lifespan on the charge in cold weather climates. And then if you're towing something, you get even a more reduced charge.
Right.
So they're seeing that, you know, up in Canada, they're having issues with the electric vehicles. You know, the charge isn't lasting as long as it's supposed to last 400 miles and it only lasts 100 miles, you know, because it's the cold weather really drags these power down. Also, you know, make sure your antifreeze is, you know, you should change that every, say, 30 to 50,000 miles. You know, they say your lifetime fluid on those antifreeze, which, once again, that's, you know, logic tells you that's not correct. You know, antifreeze gets acidic, so, you know, keep that fresh. Your washer fluid, though, there's in some gas stations sell summer washer fluid, meaning in the winter time it will freeze, so you want to make sure you get winter washer fluid in your system, because what can happen, it can freeze and then the tank will break and that's an expensive repair. Mm. And then obviously your tire pressure, make sure your tire pressure, you probably put a couple more pounds of pressure in there. You know, if you open your driver's door to exactly how much pressure to put in, put a couple pounds more, because you don't want to get, you don't want that light to pop on when you're driving on the highway.
Right. Air contracts when it gets cold. We've got some calls to get to and some text messages as well. Well, let's do this text real quick. 774 says, I've got a 2019 Dodge Durango starting at 8,900 miles, now at 119,000 miles. Regular oil changes, never a transmission fluid change, runs like new. Should I change it?
You know, that's one of those tough questions. I personally would. You get your transmission fluid. On that vehicle, you'd have your transfer case fluid, which is attached to the transmission. It's part of your four-wheel drive system. You know, your differentials. You have a differential in the front, and you have one in the back. You know, those are fluids that people forget or don't think of to change, and ultimately until it's too late. So I would definitely change out all those fluids. Make sure you're flushing your antifreeze. I believe that vehicle will have power steering fluid. You know, that's another fluid that people don't change because you don't think about changing it until your power steering pump or steering rack goes bad, but it does get dirty. So any fluid that gets dirty, you should be flushing that out, keeping that brand new. You'll get, two, three, sometimes four, 500,000 miles out of these vehicles. And, vehicles today, they are not cheap. So I highly recommend maintain your vehicle. As we talked about before, it's cheaper to keep her.
Right. All right. We've got almost full phone lines here. Paul, you're next with Bill Broussard of JB Auto Care. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Bill, I have a 2023 Nissan Rogue that has just gone through its fourth recall. The most recent recall was for engine bearings. So I brought it in, and they told me that all we're doing is updating a computer program and giving it a 10-second test drive. How does that check to see if the bearings are bad?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's testing the resistance on the motor somehow, but that's a very good question. A lot of the recalls now, I was just reading online that most of them are software issues. All the manufacturers are having software issues. So, it's a huge problem with these computer systems. But, on that particular vehicle, we put a lot of transmissions in Nissan Rogues. It's, they get the CVT transmissions, and they've had a huge problem with those. All the manufacturers have huge problems with those. I like the transmissions that actually shift. The CVTs actually don't shift. They work like a ski mobile. But, back to your question, I don't know how the two correlate. So you might want to just ask that question when you're in there.
Thanks very much for the call, Paul. One more real quick before we go to the break. Mike, you're next with Bill Broussard of JB Auto Care. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, thanks. This just happened to me a couple hours ago. A 2015 Ford Explorer with 107,000 miles on it. I haven't driven it for a couple of days because of visiting people, and it's been cold. And I went to crank it. It didn't crank. It shuts down. It didn't crank the second time, and it sounded like it was trying to get going, and it shut down. And then the third time, I put the pedal to the floor, the gas, did it again. And then when it started, sounded like it was trying to catch, I let off the pedal, and it fired it up, and it's been fine. What could that be?
I mean, if it's cranking slow or not cranking at all, to me it sounds like it sounds like the battery is, kind of let go.
The regular.
Oh, it's cranking, okay.
You turn the key and it tried to crank and it just tried for about 10 seconds and it shuts down.
So it's trying to start, but it's not starting, correct? So it's turning over.
I'm just thinking, I wonder if just maybe some dry gas or something, and I haven't driven it in a couple of days. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's probably something to do with the fuel system where you're stepping on the gas. But, when you step on the gas, it's not like the old days where it's a cable and the carburetor and it's dumping fuel in there. But it does maybe, you get fuel injection now. It might be beefing up the fuel pressure a little. Your fuel pump might, maybe it's starting to go bad on it. It's 10 years old. It's got 115,000, not very uncommon. But I would, yeah, I would start with the gas thing. You know, fill it up at a gas station somewhere. You know, obviously make sure your battery's fully charged, and then also you could scan the computer to see if there's any codes, pending codes. You know, pending codes meaning the system detects a problem, but the problem hasn't, you know, surfaced enough where it's, you know, it has to see it a few different times. So I would start at those three places.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. Bill, would that also be caused by maybe a small animal crawling into the engine compartment seeking some warmth?
Hey, that does happen this time of year.
Yep.
We get a lot of rodent issues with vehicles where they'll chew on wires, they'll nest inside the air filters. You know, as we talked about the Karen Reed vehicle, we had rodents nesting on the inside of the vehicle.
Ew.
You know, which this is uncommon. I know people were like, oh, you know, they were blaming the police. It's like, it's a very common thing. When a car sits around, you know, the rodents out there, they find warmth. And one of the great places to hide out is in an air filter. You know, there's insulation, and, you know, they bring their nuts in there and everything. They make a little family in there.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll try to get one more call in. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Bill Brassard from JB Auto Care joining us. We've got about a minute and a half left, Bill. How can people get a hold of you at JB Auto?
Yeah, so we're at 291 Bridge Street in North Weymouth, and it's 781-331-6068.
Website?
We're at www.jbautomotive.com.
All right, we've got a quick text question. 603 wants to know, are Honda vehicles known for their windows developing a film on the inside windows? They've had a 2017 Ridgeline, a 21 Pilot, and a 24 Pilot, and all three vehicles constantly develop what I compare to like a nicotine film. Is that a common occurrence? We got 30 seconds.
You know, nothing I've heard of, but, you know, you do have to clean your vehicle, you know, on the inside window. I know my vehicle gets a film on it. But yeah, you have to, you know, it could be nicotine. Maybe somebody's smoking in your car or vaping.
<Uh-oh>.
But yeah, I don't want to dime anyone out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it could be that.
Bill, thanks so much. Again, happy holidays. Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much for coming on today. Dr. Matt the Vet is on next. Get your pet questions on now, 844-500-4242.